to Daniel chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'm going to remind you something that we've discovered here over the years. And that is that God's book is so deep that there are literally revelations on top of revelations on top of revelations in the same text, you know? It's so fantastic what God has hidden in His Word. You know that? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out, the Bible says, you know? So God's hidden it on purpose. Why do you speak to them in parables, Lord? They don't understand what you're saying. He said, because unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and unto them it's not been given. So God's hidden it for a purpose, so that those that are found worthy can find what He wants to show them. Right? We discovered that there was a Bible numerics going through the Word of God all the way through, from one end to the other, where the Greek and the Hebrew letters each had a numeric value to the Greeks and the Hebrews. And that thing revealed a pattern going all the way through the Scriptures, that you couldn't add a letter or take a letter out without ruining the pattern in the individual text. And then in that same text, there is theomatics, you know, phrases that add up and are divisible by certain numbers that identify what the text is talking about. And then in the same text, there is the Bible code, which is an equidistant lettering system. Revelations of God written in that book for 3,000 and 4,000 years that have been there that long. And all this is on top of each other, you know. So, you know what? I've seen revelations in the Word. You know, the Word many times is in parable for a purpose, is because there's an interpretation of that parable. But you know that sometimes there's more than one interpretation? There are prophecies in here that have been fulfilled several times. You know, like the prophecy in Matthew 24 where Jesus talked about the invading armies and the coming of the beast and so on and so forth. Some people say that happened in 70 A.D. Some people say that that's going to happen in our day. What I say is that they're both right because both of them fit perfectly. Only God is in so much control over history that history just repeats itself. Solomon said, the things that have been are the things that shall be. Many of these prophecies in here have been fulfilled several times. And what the Lord showed me one time is that there are lesser fulfillments and greater fulfillments. Usually the greatest fulfillment of a prophecy is the last fulfillment. But there may be many lesser fulfillments in between. How many people in Hitler's day thought he was the beast? Or Constantine? How many similarities there are between the things that these people did, especially involving Christianity? You know what? That wasn't an accident. God really wanted those people in those days to believe that this was the beast, and that apostate religious system that they were living under was the harlot. And there's those similarities, you just can't escape them, because there were lesser and greater fulfillments. Well, everybody in here probably wouldn't agree with what I've taught about the beast and the harlot. But let me just say this. I don't have time to go back over all that, but I'll tell you what I feel like the Lord showed me about the beast. The beast with the 7 heads, the 10 horns. There is only one entity in all the world that all of those 7 heads and all of those 10 horns are in at this day, and that is the UN. Because it's been described to us what the 7 heads were. The 7 heads are revealed in Revelation chapter 13. The 7 heads are revealed in Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 7. We don't have to guess about it, you know? Now, Daniel started in his day, which was Babylon, and he counted forward. But John was going all the way back to the beginning, you see. John counted 7. And Daniel only started with Babylon. He didn't go back to Egypt and Assyria, okay? But the 7 heads are identified by the Bible. There's no question about that. There's Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, the dragon, and all 7 are in the 8th, which is the beast of Revelation 13. There's no question about that. I think a lot of people agree on that even. I don't know if anybody's really come with anything different from that. But there's one government in which all of these are at this particular day and will be up until the end, and that is the UN. Okay, now we've talked about the harlot in Revelation 17 who came in riding upon the back of this beast. And the Apostle John said that she sitteth upon these seven mountains, which are seven kings, which I just identified for you. She said that. That was in John's day. John said, five of these kings have fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece. One is Rome, and another is yet to come, and when it comes, it's going to stay a short time. That's the dragon. The dragon is a very short-lived beast. It only lasts 3.5 years. And then the nondescript beast that comes after that, Daniel said, devoured the whole earth, meaning he was a corporate beast, and had taken into his body the whole earth. All the other beasts are in the last beast. He has devoured the whole earth. Not necessarily through war. I mean, it doesn't have to be through war. People say that the only way that the last beast could conquer is through war. No, it's not true. All the nations of the earth, all seven heads and 10 horns, are in the beast's mouth. It has been devoured. The dragon is a corporate body, and the last beast is a corporate body. It's different from the other beast. You know why the Bible says it's different from the other beast? Because it's a corporate beast. It's devoured all the other beasts. Remember what John said? That the last beast was of the seven. And I used to ask the Lord, which one of the seven? Finally, one day the Lord told me, all of the seven. They're all in one world body now, you see. Well, I shared with you a revelation that I know is true, that the harlot that sitteth on those seven, Egypt, way back to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, the harlot that sat upon all of these, some people say it's the Catholic Church. Not possible. In John's day, which he lived in the day of Rome, he said that this woman sat upon all of these. It was all the way back to the beginning. This mother of the harlots of the earth was there. Jesus, because she was guilty of all the blood shed upon the earth, Jesus identified the harlot of his day, which was Judaism. Did you see that? Judaism was a harlot. He said she was guilty of the blood, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the porch and the altar. The harlot mother was alive in his day. Judaism was a part of it. Judaism was guilty of the blood. Revelation says that that mother was guilty of all the blood shed upon the earth. All the blood. So this mother is very big. You know why? Because she is the corporate body that incorporates all of the harlots. Remember what it says in Revelation? The mother of the harlots. See, there are many harlots. This is just the corporate body. The whole thing, all together. Okay? And that mother has sat upon the heads of governments from the beginning until this day. Now, that's not Catholicism. I mean, we've been lied to about that. That's not Catholicism. Could not be. She's only one of the daughters. Okay? She is a mother from whom many daughters came, but she's only one. That's a lesser fulfillment. The Catholic Church and the Protestant churches that came out of her, that is a lesser fulfillment. The greater fulfillment goes all the way back to Adam. See? Okay. But you know what? We're looking at different levels of revelation here, right? We notice how the Bible has these different levels. Even in the same text, there's levels upon levels of revelation. The Lord's been showing me something about this harlot. You know, the harlot was religious, but she was secular too, right? It's hard to read Revelation chapter 18 where it's talking about the same harlot and see that she was the richest nation on the earth. All the merchants that made their living by the sea got rich by her. That doesn't hardly fit. Rome does it. The most powerful nation, the greatest superpower, the richest nation. All the descriptions that we see, Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 51, they don't fit the religious side of the harlot. You know, we have a revelation here in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31 of this beast. Nebuchadnezzar got a revelation of this beast. And guess who was right at the top of this beast? The head, Babylon. All right? Babylon ruling over the rest of the body. The head rules over the body, right? Here's Babylon ruling over the rest of the body. As a nation, not as a religion, as a nation. Look at it carefully. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This is the image of the beast. This image, which was mighty, and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the aspect thereof was terrible. As for this image, its head was of fine gold, its breasts and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together. Remember that, together. This is very important, together. They were all broken together. When the stone that was cut out of the mountain rolled down the mountain and hit this thing, it destroyed all of these kingdoms at one time at the end of the age. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Babylon was way on back there, 600 B.C., you know. That's right, it was. And Medo-Persia came after that, and Greece and Rome. This was a historic beast. But I want to tell you that all of these beasts are alive today, because none of these nations have passed away. Their seed has been passed right on down until this day. You understand? In fact, Daniel chapter 7 tells us that those beasts are still alive. Daniel chapter 7, when at the end the Lord destroyed the body of the beast, in verse 11, I beheld at that time because of the voice of the great word which the horn spake. I beheld even until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. Well, how could you have a beast slain and its body destroyed? Here's the thing. The Bible says the beast comes from the bottomless pit. What was that? That's the spirit that inhabits the body. Remember when the Lord returns? He's going to take the beast and cast him in the lake of fire. What is that? That's the spirit of the beast. The spirit that came from the bottomless pit. Okay? The body is destroyed on the earth. It says so right here. Okay? The body is what? See, the spirit of Christ inhabits his body. His body is on the earth. His body is physical. But he's from heaven. The spirit of Antichrist comes from the pit. He inhabits a body. That body is called the body of Antichrist. And that spirit comes from the pit. But he has a physical body. That physical body is going to be destroyed on the earth. It was going to be burned with fire. Verse 12. And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. See, their dominion was gone, but they were still there. And this was at the end of time. So all these kingdoms are actually still with us. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, they're all still here. In fact, if you look in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, he gives you a revelation here. What Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar is that there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he's made known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. The whole revelation is what's going to be in the latter days. You understand? Because in these days, the image of the beast is being set up. Not as some people think, out in some field somewhere for everybody to bow down to, in the lives of people. Jesus Christ is the image of God. You understand how Jesus is the image of God? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that he is the image of God. What does that mean? Well, the word image there is the word character. You know, like on a typewriter, a character. He's the image of God. The word character means an impress or something that recreates itself. You know, like a typewriter key, you know. Or like a notary's stamp, see. That's a character. But what the stamp makes on the piece of paper is an icon, you see. So, you know the word in Revelation 13 for the mark of the beast? That's the word character. But the word for image of the beast is the word icon. In other words, the mark, a lot of people don't realize this, the mark is what makes the image, you see. Jesus Christ is God's mark. He's His character. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into the same image. That word image is icon. Jesus is the character, but what His imprint leaves in you is the icon, which is what? The image of the beast. You understand? Jesus is God's character. God wanted to reproduce Him in His body. And when you look at Him, and you remember that reconciliation has been made, which means an exchange, the Apostle Paul said, it's no more I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. He beheld the Lord by faith until He came into His image. This is God's plan for us, too, is to behold Him by faith and come into His image. That's not by our power. We don't have power to do that. But when you're exercising faith, you're exercising faith in God's power, right? You know, the Bible says, just as Jesus is the character of God, and His body is the image of God, you see, that we are the image of Christ on the earth. You understand? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that we are the image. The word icon. Jesus is the character. He's the mark. We're the image. So what about Christ and what about Antichrist? Well, as you might expect, it's just the opposite. Anti meaning opposite, right? Or instead of. This is something you need to pay attention to too, because anti means instead of. There's a false Christ being taught in this earth today. And they say He's Jesus. And He's not. Paul talked about Him, you know. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Be careful. Because if your Jesus don't look like this Jesus, that's not Him. And you can come into this image, or you can come into that image that people are teaching you. You see, you understand? If they teach you another Jesus, that's the image you're going to come into. Because you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing somebody that don't exist. You see, that's what religion does. Always has. So you have to be very careful that this is the Jesus that you're seeing in the mirror. Well, Antichrist is just the opposite. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. Remember, the book of Revelation is a parable. If you try to make it literal, you'll destroy it. That mark that brought forth the image in Revelation chapter 13 is a parable. If we are the image of Christ, who is the image of Antichrist? Everybody who's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the ones who worship the beast. Fall down to the image. They're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? Their spirit is the spirit from below. Jesus told these religious people in His day, you're from below. Boy, this was God's people. Yeah, but they were copying another Jesus, right? They sure didn't recognize the true Jesus. Well, here's the problem right here. It says, professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image, icon, of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and of creeping things. See, if you profess yourself to be wise and not the Word to be wise, it's easy to make another Jesus. That's why He's called Antichrist. Because a lot of the world is going to be convinced that this is Christ. You understand? So, go back over there and let's look at this. What Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar was that this was a revelation of the latter days. Not only is it historic from Babylon to this day, but in the end of time, there is this image of the beast that is made up of these entities. And at the top of this body is a head that's called Babylon. Babylon is ruling over the beast. In the book of Revelation, remember, the harlot that came in, Mystery Babylon, where was she sitting? Top of the beast. She was ruling over the beast. Now, if you want to make a little bit of application, think about who's really ruling behind the scenes over the UN right now. Do you know why God called Israel the harlot? Because she was a spouse to the Lord, and she loved the world. That's why she was called a harlot. Isaiah called her the harlot in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, and he called her the harlot at the time when the Assyrian Empire was about to come and conquer Babylon. Well, you know what? That's exactly the time in history that we're at right now. See, at the time when he called her a harlot, it was after these 17-year war cycles. See, every 17 years, Israel was in a war. This happened for 15 cycles. And then the Assyrians came in and they conquered and took Israel away captive. Well, except for Zion, okay? Well, that's where America is right now. We've been in a war every 17 years for 15 cycles, and we've come to the end of the 15th cycle. God is dealing, it's very clear that God is dealing with America the way he dealt with Israel. See, Israel was anointed. They were God's anointed. They were the ones who had the truth. If anybody was going to get the truth, it had to come through them, right? You know, God anointed America this way. The gospel went out from America all over the world. And I might say the apostate gospel went out from America too, because America's become a harlot. You know who Babylon was? Babylon, in Ezekiel 17, was described as the great eagle. The great eagle. Another place, in Daniel chapter 7, she's described as the lion with eagle's wings. Now, if you think today, well, back in those days, the great eagle, that was Babylon. Who's the great eagle today? Nobody would argue with you. Ask anybody in the world, they'll tell you. The U.S. Who's the lion with eagle's wings? Who's the lion? Search the world. Find out who's the lion. What's the symbol of this nation that's called the lion? Britain. And why is it the lion with the eagle's wings? Because America sprung out of Britain. See? And Canada. And other nations that are a part of the British Empire. See? Also, you're talking about Christianity is in these nations. Although, to the biggest extent, it is apostate Christianity. It's backslidden a long ways. What we see in this book, right? Every religion thinks they're right. You might think yours is. There isn't any that are right. You know, all the religions in Jesus' day, when he came the first time, they were wrong. And they didn't know Jesus from anybody else. They didn't recognize him. It's no different today, folks. It's not in religion. It's not religion. It is what God has revealed to us through this book. And we shouldn't add to this book nor take away from this book. Because that's the only way you're going to know the real, true Jesus. I mean, God pronounces a curse in the last five verses of the book. For you to add to his book, take away from his book, he pronounces a curse on you. See, so we should tremble before God's word. The Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't trust it to anybody else. Don't trust it to anybody else. At the head of this beast was Babylon. Funny thing was, who was it that brought the worship of the image of the beast and the mark of the beast to the people of the world? I ask you, who was it? Daniel chapter 3. Okay. After Nebuchadnezzar saw this vision, he decided he was going to make this vision. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60, that is 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6. Well, that's not an accident. God's identifying the beast here, 66, right? And he set it up on the plain of Dura. Dura meaning circle. You know, like the earth? See, God wants you to see a symbol here. See, the whole earth is going to buy this. The whole earth is going to worship the beast. The Bible says so in Daniel chapter 13. The whole earth, everybody's name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is going to worship the beast. Could you get that many people to agree on anything on this earth? Never has happened before. So maybe our idea of the beast is a little wrong, you know. Listen, it's going to make so much good sense for the world to give up all their individual armies, their individual government, their separation, in order to just be one, because who can make war with the beast? It makes good sense. The only thing is, it's Antichrist. And the Lord's going to have nothing of it. He's not going to have a peace that excludes him. There is no peace to the wicked, the Bible says. So the world thinks we're going to have peace this way. And they're headed full steam ahead in that direction. Just like this image that we look at here. All these nations together. And Babylon is at the top. Make no mistakes. Who's pulling the strings behind the scenes? It's America. It's America. Most of the technology, most of the weaponry, most of the army, you know, it's America. Here, the king of Babylon who, by the way, let me point out something. The king of Babylon lost his mind for 7 years. He came as a beast. Lost his mind for 7 years. You think that's a symbol of something?
Yep.
This harlot that sits, the government of this harlot that sits upon the beast is going to totally lose its mind for 7 years. That's not an accident. There's nothing in here that's an accident. Nothing. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Okay? For 7 years. You know how it's going to lose its mind? Well, Daniel chapter 3 is a pretty good revelation of it. You say, how could this be? I'm going to just hang on. Don't make it remind you quickly, okay? So, he builds this beast, sets it up on the plain of Dura, and Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather together the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the judges and treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You know, who is the main force behind the New World Order? Who's the main brains behind this? Who started it? Who's been preaching it?
Rockefeller.
Okay, that's good. But let me tell you, this government has been doing it. This government, and most notably the newest people that have been voted into this government, are really one world people all the way.
One world economics.
Yep.
Not about it.
One world economics. They are pushing this. They believe in this. This is their doctrine. They gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald cried aloud, the herald being the word preacher. This is the Greek word, same word in the New Testament for preacher. Did you know that? The preacher cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, all these instruments, that you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Look at verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of these instruments, all the peoples, the nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Babylon set it up. The beast just worshipped it. How could the beast worship itself? Think about it. Well, just think about this God and country thing that we got here in America. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. Would Jesus pledge allegiance to any nation on this earth?
No.
Never. Wrong doctrine. Wrong thinking. You see, patriotism causes everybody to worship their own nation, doesn't it? And if anybody goes to war, everybody is just as sectarian as everybody else. My nation's right. I'm fighting for my country. They're fighting for their country. See? And it's a sectarianism because we're the best. Because this is my people, my nation. We're the best. We're right, you know. So they go to war. Well, what about the beast? This is the most fantastic idea that people have ever come up with, you know. They said it came from the devil and it came through God, okay? Because God is raising up this beast. He raised up every other beast. God did. God raised up every... He said he did. And he raised them up because God's people fell into apostasy. And he raised up this beast to conquer them and bring them to their cross. And now that God's got a worldwide people, he needs a worldwide beast. So he has raised up this worldwide beast. And he's using America to do this. Everybody's going to bow down to this beast, just like Americans bow down to America and pledge allegiance to America and are patriotic towards America. You know, that's the way religion is, isn't it? The world's kind of set up like religion is. My religion's right. We're the best. But Jesus didn't want any sects or divisions or stripes in his body. He called it a work of the flesh. You know that? Galatians chapter 5. See, this sectarian spirit comes from the world. The thing that's divided up the body of Christ is wolves, the Bible says. And it comes from the world. It doesn't come from Christ. He said, Father, I pray they may be one as we are one. That was his last prayer. The church has ignored it ever since. But he's going to have one body. When the beast starts working, he's going to have one body. Because the beast is going to destroy the harlot. I'm talking about the religious harlot. You can forget these religions. They're not going to last much longer. Thank God. God's people are going to be one again. And you know what? People are going to start learning from one another then. because different groups have different revelations, different parts of the word that they believe, other parts that don't want to believe. You know? But they're going to start rubbing elbows with one another and picking up revelations from one another. Oh, what God's planning is beautiful. They shall be one flock, one shepherd. That's what Jesus said. This has happened in history. It's happened over and over. God is doing nothing new here. He's just doing it on a bigger scale. See, now people, their theology is that God's going to depart from history. He's going to do something new. No, he's not. He's going to do the same thing he's always done. Because man is the same. Man hadn't changed, and God hadn't changed, and he's dealing with sin the same way. Especially sin in the church. Dealing with it the same way. That's why history just keeps repeating itself. And man never learns, because he just keeps doing the same thing over and over. He just keeps dealing with the same. You know what God's going to do. Read the book. How did he deal with apostate Judaism? The same way he's going to deal with apostate Christianity. The same way. With mercy, with grace, and with chastening, and with fire. Well, he set up this image. The king of Babylon set up this image. He instituted the image of the beast, the mark of the beast. The image is made by the mark, you understand? So, the king of Babylon instituted the image of the beast, the mark of the beast. Of course, everybody bowed down but the three Hebrew children. You know why they didn't bow down? They didn't eat of the king's dainties. See, if you eat of Babylon's dainties, you're going to bow down. There's only one thing that will keep you from bowing down to this thing that's coming and being deceived by this mark that's coming, is you've got to learn to walk by faith. The people who walk by faith, well, God's people, when he brought them out of Egypt and into the wilderness, he expected them to walk by faith. That's why he brought them there, so they'd learn to walk by faith and not by the strength of Egypt. See, so he brought them out there to a place where Egypt couldn't help them, and then he suffered them to lack so he could see what they could do. But when they lacked, instead of believing his promises, they cried out wanting to run back to Egypt. See, the wilderness is a place of trial. Those people died in the wilderness because they didn't believe the word of God. See, there was a great falling away in the wilderness. I desire to put you in remembrance, brethren, Jude said, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, later destroyed them that believed not. Where did he destroy them? In the wilderness. What is the tribulation called, friends? The wilderness. Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 17, the tribulation is called the wilderness. Both places. So God's going to try his people in the wilderness. What's going to cause them to stand in the wilderness? Faith in Jesus. The rest of the world, they're fearful not to take the mark of the beast. They want to buy and sell. They want to eat. They want their children to eat. You know, a lot of Christians, because they don't have any faith in God, no faith in his promises, no faith in all of his precious promises, they're not going to have any choice. They're going to take the mark of the beast. There's going to be a great falling away. A great falling away. The Bible says so. A great falling away. You know why? Because they've got nothing. They've been eating of the king's dainties. They've been eating the stuff that comes from Babylon. If you don't devour this word and get faith in your heart, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word, you're not going to stand. You're not going to see any choice but to do what the world tells you to do. And don't think that they're going to come along and make it so obvious that they're going to put a 666 on somebody's head. That's a parable. It's not going to be that obvious. It's going to be a strong delusion. A person who walks by faith is never going to have to worry about it. Joshua and Caleb, they went right on into that promised land. You know, they walked by faith. God's got another trial in the wilderness for his people. And you better get ready. You better walk by faith. You better learn to walk by faith. That's the strongest weapon you've got against the enemy. A lot of the church, they're once saved, always saved. They can take the mark. It won't even bother them. You better read Revelation 14. That's not true. Anybody who takes that mark is anathema. But I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to take that mark because they think God can't possibly take back what he's given them. That's a deception. Look, the Jews bowed it down. There was only three of them that didn't. All the peoples, tribes, nations, and languages bowed down. All of them. There was only three of them that didn't. This harlot is the one who instituted the mark and the image. This harlot is the one that lost its mind. You see? You think that this could possibly happen to America? Remember, we were talking about different levels of revelation. Okay, on a spiritual level, I just share with you what the spiritual mark of the beast is: to have the image of Christ manifested in you. You know, what does it say in Colossians chapter 1. I quoted to you 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. We are. The church is the image. Well, wasn't the harlot? Folks, the harlot is going to take the mark. The harlot is apostate Christianity among some, among many, you see. They're going to take the mark. Why? Because they got the false image that they're looking at in the mirror. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings. You know who the old man is? Let me tell you who the old man is. If you go to the 6th chapter of the 6th book of the 6th verse of the New Testament, it tells you who the old man is. He's the beast. That's who's identified in the 6th chapter, 6th book, 6th verse. The old man. The old man is the beast. You know, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. Did you know that in Revelation chapter 11, God's people were identified by who worshipped in the Holy of Holies, who worshipped in the outer court. What's the outer court? Right here. Those who worshipped God in the outer court were trampled under by the Gentiles. They were killed, in other words. Those who worshipped in the Holy of Holies, they were exempt from this death. Why? Because they worshipped God in spirit. The others walked after the flesh because they dwelt in the part of the... You know, the tabernacle was spirit, soul, and body. Holy of Holies, holy place, and outer court. The outer court even had the animal skins on it to identify it as the body of the beast, you see. You understand? So Christians are somewhere in the body of Christ. If you're walking in the flesh, you're going to lose your life. It's walking in the Spirit is where God's protection is. He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 at your right, 10,000 at your left, won't touch you, won't come nigh you. You know why? Because they're abiding in the secret place of the Most High. It's not a secret where religious people, these apostate religions abide. They're so much like the world you can't tell the difference. What's so secret about that? They're copying the world. They're not copying Christianity. Read the book of Acts. That's what we're supposed to look like. Well, he says here, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, the icon. We are the image of Christ. We are being recreated in his image, the body of Christ. Why do you think it's called a body of Christ? See? Now, that's spiritual, you understand? The body of Antichrist is the people of the world, whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? They are taking the mark of the beast. Where? In the forehead and in the hand. Right? What's the hand in the Scriptures? It's identified all through the Scriptures. Who's the arm of the Lord? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus Christ. He said, cursed is he that trusts in the arm of the flesh. What's the arm of the flesh? The beast. The arm of the Lord is Jesus. He's the one that gives us strength to do our works. We're the hand. We're identified in Isaiah 53. You go read it when you get a chance. We're identified as the hand of the Lord. Isaiah 53. He's the arm. He gives us strength to do our works. See, your hand symbolizes your works, see. And the forehead. The mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. See? Let me tell you something. Exodus 13 and 16 and Revelation 13 and 16, they talk about these two different marks. Go back and read it when you get a chance. In Exodus 13 and 16, they would bind the Word of God on the back of their hand and across their forehead. The Word of God. Revelation 13 and 16, it was the mark or the character, like a typewriter character, of the beast. Isn't that interesting? You know that if you have the mark of God, if you walk with a renewed mind of the Word of God, and after the works of the Spirit, or after the works of the Word of God. See, God identifies His people with a mark too, right? Didn't He mark them in Ezekiel? He sent the men with the sword to go kill everybody that didn't have the mark of the Lord.
Yeah.
See, God's got the same mark. He has the same mark. Except it's a different mark. Okay? He has a mark in the hand and the forehead too. Well, the beast is those that walk after the flesh. The mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh is what?
Death.
The flesh is the enemy of God. Antichrist. Christ Antichrist.
Christ, renewed mind, walking after the Spirit, works of the Spirit. Beast, Antichrist, mind of the flesh, works of the flesh. That's the spiritual revelation. You see, what the Lord told me years ago is that people were taking the mark of the beast and had the mark of the beast and lived with the mark of the beast. You don't believe that? Let me show you first. 1 Corinthians 15:49. You know, when you were lost in the world and you walked after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, you know what you had? You had the mark of the beast. And as we have borne the image, that's the word icon, the same word. As we have borne the image of the earthly, that's the beast, let us, actually it says in the original, some of you got a footnote down there, but Americ says this too, it says, let us also bear the image, the icon, of the heavenly. You see, it's up to you if you're going to walk after the flesh or not. After the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, it's up to you. Jesus gave you everything you need to walk in the Spirit through faith in His promises. Listen to what the Bible says. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can you imagine? See, God didn't say He was going to do that. He commanded you to do that. He gave you these precious promises so you could use them like a sword against your enemy. The old man, the flesh, the world, the giant, whatever, you know, however many parables you want to look at it. That's the way it is. See, He's given you responsibility. He's given you authority. And He's given you a weapon that the devil cannot stand up to. It's the Word of God. He cannot stand, the flesh cannot stand up to Him either. It's the Word of God. So He wants you to take that sword, go into that land, and kill your enemy. Put to death the old man and live in his house. Put to death the lust of the flesh. That land is your land. God promised it to you. And you can take it. Well, everybody's born this image. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people going to take it again. Here's the thing. The people who take the spiritual mark, these are the people that are going to bow down. Now, I believe, you know, I'm seeing that there's more levels of this revelation. There is a spiritual revelation, and there is a more physical revelation. There is a time when this mark is given. It's in the middle of the tribulation period. It's called great falling away. In the middle of the tribulation period. It's a time when the burnt offering is caused to cease. Remember that? Middle tribulation? What's the burnt offering? Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Taking that strange and fiery trial that comes upon you to prove you. See, when flesh burns up, God likes it. We're like those animals. The old flesh has got a burn up going through the fiery trial. God smells that. It's a sweet smell in His nose, the Bible says. So, the continual burnt offering is going to be taken away when the mark of the beast is instituted. How's that? Who's the continual burnt offering? Continual burnt offering. See, God's people are a continual burnt offering. But that's only when you're serving God that you're a continual burnt offering. But when you take the mark of the beast, that continual burnt offering is taken away. That's the great falling away. See, these are parables. They're there. They're clear. Okay, as soon as you see them, you see something. You understand something, okay? Now, I'm not taking away the literal part. I'm just helping you see the spiritual part, right? That Israel might sacrifice and break the sacrifice. I'm not denying none of that. I'm just helping you to see something. Everything that happened unto them is going to happen to the church. Did you notice that the Apostle Paul said that? That everything that happened to them was for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. See, they are spiritually what the church is, you see. The church has filled the position of Israel in the New Testament, you see. Everything that happened to them is a sign of what's going to happen to the church. What happens to them physically happens to the church spiritually. See, the continual burnt offering is going to be taken away when the image of the beast is, when the mark of the beast is given. Okay? So you see, there's a spiritual mark of the beast and a spiritual image of the beast, and there is a physical mark of the beast and a physical image of the beast. And who is going to give it? It has to be given at one point. It's given at one point. It's given in the middle of the tribulation period. The Bible is plain. Who's going to give it? Babylon is going to give it. Do you know? I'm going to read for you some, and then you can ask questions or we can look some more and maybe prove it. I'm going to read for you some dreams, some visions of people. I've been collecting them for some time off the internet. You don't know what this government is up to. Be careful, because don't bow down to this government too much. You don't know what they're fixing to do. They're fixing to sell Christians out. They have created something that most people don't know nothing about. Let me read just a few little things here to you, okay? Okay, I hope you all believe, you may not, but you may get used to it between here and the end, in prophecy, because it hasn't been done away. Until that which is perfect has come, that which in part has not been done away, folks. Prophecy is still with us, because that which is perfect ain't here yet. Don't let anybody tell you that's religion, or any particular religion. That's hogwash. And you can look at them and tell them they're not perfect, right? No. When Jesus comes, we won't need the gifts anymore. That is true. Because he is that which is perfect. But here's a prophecy, and there's several dreams here. And they pretty much agree. I'm going to break into the middle of this one. It says, in this prophecy, he says, I call upon the peoples of oil and fire. That's Islam and Russia. For judgment upon this nation. For America knows not to do right. You, O America, who store up and prepare violence against your own people and plots to intern them in concentration camps. Did you know that there's over 300 concentration camps built around this country? There's pictures of them. I've seen them. What are they building them for? Because they already know what's coming down the line. They already know what they've created. Watch. And make covenants with the illuminated sons of Satan. I have judged you and found my cup of wrath full with anger against you. You, O America, who conspire to spoil the bread and steal the light. The bread is the word, right? And the light is also the truth. And it's being perverted. To place a mark on all your people. I have this against you. Moreover, you force the whole world to worship other gods of trees, of crawling things, and water, and waters which were foreign to you. You understand the Earth Charter that the UN is going to enforce. Listen, the armies that are going to enforce the mark of the beast are going to have blue hats. Watch. The UN. All nations. How many times does it say all nations are going to be gathered together? Why does it say that? There is one army that's all nations. So that they may take this mark. You croak as the voices of frogs are heard from the pits of your throats, the song of a sustainable world without my holy name. So this is the idea. We can make this thing work. We don't need God. No repentance is seen in your actions, for your hearts are far from me, and my spirit will not strive long with the spirits of men. You, O America, swear by your power and might that by the false prince that comes, surely now we have peace and security. A sustainable planet will not surely die. Okay, let me show you this revelation. This is a man who was taken by an angel to look at something in NORAD. You know what NORAD is? Right? Our defense facility. And we stood in a control room with a flash to him and the angel. And if you say these things don't happen, you ain't read the Bible, right? Read the Bible. There's nothing different today. God still does this with people that believe this. You understand? As we stood in a control room with flashing computer screens and a control board light, he directed my gaze to a panel in front of us. He said, look and tell me what you see. I looked and saw only a large, plain-looking panel with some writing above a flip panel that said, neutron fuse. He raised the panel so I could see under it. And then the angel asked, now what do you see? A large white bubble-shaped button in the center was surrounded with switches and lights indicating a dual unlocking system and activation sequence. He asked, what do you think will happen when this system is activated and the President of the United States gives the order to push the white button in the center? I replied, I don't know. Suddenly, I was high above the Earth with the angel, and he showed me an array of low Earth orbit satellites. Did you notice they've been putting them up there for years? Have you ever noticed that lately they've had a lot of trouble getting one of them up there? This is what they've been putting up there. There's 66 of them in all that they've been putting up there. 66 of them. And they've been putting them up there, except the Lord's been blowing them out of the sky here recently. Have you ever noticed? They're having a lot of trouble getting them up. He's just delaying a little bit, you understand? When they get them all up there, this system's going to work. In fact, it'll work without them all up there. But when they get them all up there, it'll be perfected. So I think they had a thing on the news the other night about how many of them have blown up here recently. They're trying to get them up there, you know. Suddenly I was high above the earth When the activation sequence is set forth, it would be just as it would be in a nuclear war. This system is armed to destroy all communications on Earth. An electromagnetic pulse is generated by the satellites and directed to the Earth. All normal microchips will instantly fail, except those that are made of a special U.S. and allied military hardware which are resistant to electromagnetic pulse. You know what electromagnetic pulse is? Well, what does an atomic explosion causes an electromagnetic pulse or an enriched plutonium device, you know, is more efficient in making this electromagnetic
pulse. It's not effective against tubes, and Russia still uses tubes.
It's more effective against chips, okay? Well, he says, these chips will also now, if you understand, they've got these satellites up there, and they can beam this through these satellites and destroy the existing economic and communication system, okay? These chips are the ferromagnetic ones that you have been shown, which are made in Colorado Springs. He's saying there's only one chip that's resistant to this. These are made in America, okay? I asked, why would they do this terrible thing to our communications, and when will it take place? So you understand what I'm saying? The normal chips, this thing will destroy. There's one chip that they're making here for America and her allies that it won't touch, okay? The ferromagnetic ones. He replied, when the enemy has invaded America at the invitation of the president to force the mark on all U.S. citizens, listen, what is, you know, why are they building these concentration camps? Do they know they're coming? Do they think the enemy's going to be in there? Or do they know they're coming that they're going to put you in there? Think about it. To force the mark on all U.S. citizens, then to destroy any opposition, this system will be used to take out communications and all services that rely on microchips, such as power generators, distribution, so on and so forth. Then the great falling away will occur. You're talking about a falling away because of the mark. Understand? Now we beseech you, brother. I'm not going to read them. We'll put it down. He quotes some verses here. Well, I'm going to read that. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day will not come. What day? The coming of the Lord. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. Just the opposite of what they've been telling us. See the Bible saying just the opposite of what we've been told? The Lord is not coming and gathering us to him until the falling away comes first and the son of perdition is revealed. The Bible says it plainly. So why are people reading over that and turning it just the opposite? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the holy people will die too numerous to count. The angel said this. The holy people will die too numerous to count. I asked, if this is to happen, what good will it be for me to know and to tell the people? He said, the people of our Lord Jesus who hear this voice personally and in cell churches will have fled to places of refuge. They must know that they must shield their electronics, generators, and other microchip equipment from EMP, electromagnetic pulse. See, here's what will happen on the freeways of America. Suddenly I stood with him on a hill looking down on a freeway in Los Angeles, and an endless stream of automobiles lined up with near silence except for the occasional shouts of frustrated motors and screams from local skirmishes. It was the start of sunset, and the eerie silence with motionless egg-like shaped cars lined up over the horizon showed me how helpless we are in large modern cities. In other words, all the automobiles just stopped. I believe they're going to sign the Earth Charter, and they're going to force anybody who's making automobiles to make them entirely different from what they're making right now. They're not going to permit pollution, and the UN is going to enforce this. The angel said, the foreign troops on American soil will force the people of this nation to take the mark in their hand or forehead, and those who are to be removed to internment camps or executed, their blood cries out to God for judgment, even now before it has taken place. This is the time of the great harvest and the great martyrdom of the saints. Remember this dream and vision and tell the people of America and their allies that judgment is coming, for the sins of this nation have risen up to heaven and the blood of the innocents cries out from the earth. What do you think that might be? 40 million of them. Yet for a little season the saints shall be crushed, but their testimonies, prayers, and their blood shall be a fragrant aroma to the Father. He will have mercy before he seeks judgment. At the appointed time, he will execute the sentence swiftly, and none of the evil ones will understand or prepare for what is to take place. Sleep now, but remember this vividly, for they must, because he was waking up from sleeping, so they must know the truth. Those who will be preserved through the fires of tribulation for a remnant will the Lord keep in the land. Meaning, obviously, there are going to be those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Why do you think he says alive and remain? Because that's going through the time when the beast is persecuting the church, right? Now, it's going to get clearer now when I add some of these other revelations together. Listen to this carefully now, okay? This is about this Iridium system that they've perfected. You see, this system's going out and they know it. They've been knowing it for a long time that this system's going out. They've been creating another one to take its place. Okay?
Well, one thing the military always does, they always have a redundant system.
Always, yes. Well, here's their redundancy. Listen to this. This is the neatest thing that's ever come along, unless you know the Lord. The new Iridium system will replace the current electronic financial system. The atomic number of iridium is 77 and is a precious element for military and electronic devices. This title was selected by a think tank in the early 80s in Dallas, sponsored by Motorola and several other companies. The plan was to develop the next generation internet. It uses 66 satellites in geocentric orbits. Of course, I don't know how many they got up there yet, but there's a few less than what they wanted up there. So the Lord has slightly delayed things. A who's who list of corporations involved in this consortium includes, and then there's a list of who's who's corporations, great big monstrous corporations, you know. Most of these people are in on the design of this thing. It's not a real hidden thing, you understand. Most of this system is centered in Denver and Colorado Springs, with some main players in California and Texas, and numerous subcontractors across the country. Clinton Gore signed the bill authorizing the digital superhighway 2 weeks after winning the first term elections. Full steam ahead has been the slogan of this powerfully backed organization of companies. The super internet will be very fast, 100,000 megabytes per second data transfer. The IRS, the Justice Department, and Social Services have all had computer simulations of their mainframe systems and all crashed miserably. Within 60 days after the crash, a public offering to government and business in America would be made to completely shift their current communications and financial systems to Iridium. Each individual in the Western world would be given special identification to access this database and all the benefits. This system entails the assignment of three unique identifiers to each person. The first is the sixth digit of year, month, day of birth. Right? Six digits. The second identifier is based on the GPS, or global positioning system. You understand what that is, right? That the U.S. military used for their targeting artillery. It's called the mesh barcode. Conceptually, the world is divided into 99 global sectors, with 99 subsectors inside each of these. Finally, within each of these subsectors, there are subdivided into 99 subsectors. This allows for long-range targeting to an accuracy of less than 250 radial yards anywhere on the planet. An individual residence is targetable. How Iridium works relies on the position of the signal source and the identity of the source signal. See, the system we got now works on telephone wires, chips. The new system ain't going to work on telephone wires. It's going to be on the cell phone. It's going to work on the cell phone system and these satellites. And this identifier. Everybody's going to have to be identified. Okay? Listen. The identity of the individual and locations of any signal, whether phone, computer, radio, etc., will allow no one to access the SuperNet who is not authorized. Each allowed database zone will be protected by virtually impenetrable firewalls with security protections against unauthorized access. This database now exists but for the third identifier, genetic fingerprinting. And they've been calling for that lately. Have you noticed? They're calling for that. The government is calling for genetic fingerprinting. Genetic fingerprinting was central to the legal cases of O.J. Simpson and more recently to the president. Newer systems will cut this time to less than 1 hour with high-speed polymerase chain reaction analyzers. I got that. The next report of the last month have come out that the government has recommended the DNA fingerprinting of all U.S. citizens. When this is available, it will be linked to all manner of biometric database information such as fingerprints, laser retinal scans, etc. Depending upon security clearances and access past specific SuperNet firewalls. Everyone will be issued on a universal identifier number with access to military, medical, criminal, tax, and security travel records. John spoke of it in the book of Revelation. You understand how this works? First of all, you know how you can stop crime? With this system. You know why? Nobody can be anywhere without the computers knowing. And if you're somewhere and a crime has been committed, the computer knows who done it. You understand? Buying and selling, won't be no buying and selling without this system. You understand?
Right now, they can almost, with the satellite system right now, they can almost photograph certain parts of the world. They can, if there's a crime that took place in a certain area, they can actually...
They have done it.
They
can pictures of the crime. Even license plates and things like that. Interesting. I mean, they're ahead of what we think. You understand? They don't let all their secrets out to the public.
About 50 years behind me.
Let me read this one to you. Here's a man, and he says, the spirit of the angel Gabriel took me to the west coast where I saw foreign and oriental looking troops with blue hats carrying machine guns. I saw helicopters with the signs of the United Nations and many thousands of Americans in lines waiting to receive the mark of the beast. He told me to watch as the Chinese Navy on the west coast base we gave them became a secondary staging ground for the invasion. The primary invasion was our own military bases. The angel showed me how our New World Order U.S. government officials gave these bases to the invaders. I was horrified as I watched. Deep below many airports and military bases, I saw those with red badges who were to be executed for the word of their testimony. And they did not shrink from the faith in Jesus Christ. Others marked with blue worked in factories and were periodically brought to reprogramming camps and rooms where unspeakable inhumane acts were performed on them to have them repent of their belief in the truth and the word. Elsewhere, those with the green emblems smiled and went about life with peace on their well-fed faces, and they feared not, for they had felt righteous in that they were saving the planet. For they knew falsely in their hearts that surely the Lord would not cast them out to outer darkness. Surely once saved, they thought, I have eternal security. And the Lord Jesus I once received will not reject those he has taken into his arms. Then Gabriel cringed as if in pain seeing this, for he said that their beliefs would bring them to destruction, for they knew him not. I asked, what is the end of these things? He says, those that will hear the words of the witnesses of Jesus and the prophets of the end would be stirred, and throughout the kingdom of the beast, there would be people in high level, like masons or murderers or bankers or military men or teachers or doctors and laborers, and all the corporations of the beast would turn over those who would receive the mark of the sovereign Lord on their right hand or on their forehead. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that there are people, when the mark of the beast is happening, this has happened historically, man. Have you ever heard the story of the Roman legion that was out on the lake, and they put the legionnaires who confessed Christ out on this lake to freeze to death. It's a true story. And one of them gave up in the middle of the battle and came screaming off the lake. And all of a sudden, there was a legionnaire on the bank who was guarding with his weapon anybody who stood on the lake. He started stripping off his clothes because they had him all naked out in the middle of this frozen lake. He stripped off his clothes, ran out there and took his pants. That's history. You know what? The Bible says, let no man take thy crown. What he's saying here is there are going to be people who have been on the wrong side when they see people doing this, but they're actually going to take the mark of the Lord. Did you hear what he said? Mark of the sovereign Lord. You know what the mark of the Lord is? Jesus. The Bible's clear, you see. You just have to read it and pay attention to it. Well, that's wonderful, you know, that some people who are so secure to walk in their own self-will and do anything they want to do are going to lose their life, while other people who are the lowest of the earth are going to come to Jesus Christ and be washed clean. Do you realize that? It's history. It's happened many times throughout history.
Are those the ones that come at the 11th hour?
Yeah.
The 6th hour?
Yeah, no doubt. Because the beast rules for 1 hour. The last beast, the Bible says he rules for 1 hour. Jesus said the last ones were hired were at the 11th hour. You understand that? At the beginning of the beast's rule, that's the last 3.5 years, there were going to be people who were going to come to the Lord. Nobody's going to be hired after that. 1 hour. We serve but 1 hour. Okay, let me go on down a little bit here. Okay. Here's a man who was standing in the Oval Office in this vision. He said, in an instant I stood in the Oval Office of the White House in Washington, but I could not make out the face or the voice of the president as he sat at his presidential desk. The content of the conversation to the Russian leader was as follows. We are now prepared for the contingency of implementing the national implantable identification. But I would be most appreciative if you would commit at least 500,000 Russian troops via the United Nations to quell any resistance from the civilian American population. The national implantable, they've already made this thing, folks. It's no bigger than a grain of sand. And it holds all that information. They can just shoot it right under your skin. It's already made. Who made it? Who is the one creating this, putting the satellites up? It's the harlot. The great eagle, the harlot, is doing this. You know, there are people that actually believe that the mark of the beast wouldn't even come out of Europe. There's a lot of Christians over here who've been preaching that for years. The mark of the beast will never come to America. It's going to start in America. It's created by America. In a flash, I stood with him outside of a lawn in front of the Washington Monument. The president was on a platform with many Secret Service men about watching security. To my dismay, I heard him say, my American brothers and sisters and citizens of our tiny and fragile planet Earth, I address you with a response to the grave news of the worldwide recent environmental catastrophe. Today I am adopting the Earth Charter that has been ratified by the United Nations and requesting that all citizens take to heart the chance to change the face of our history. I ask you as president to join with me and ask what you can do to save our world as we open the pages of a new millennium. All citizens have been asked to recycle, to minimize their consumption of energy, preservation of our open spaces and parks, and the heritage of clean air, water, and water are a legacy we must pledge to preserve not only for future generations, but for all life forms on our planet. Just as President Kennedy announced that we were up to the challenge of the voyage to the moon, it will be one step for America and one giant leap for the salvation of the Earth, our mother planet. Tomorrow I ask that all citizens will report in an orderly fashion for a more secure national identification. This final step in our phased-in national ID program will assure peace and security for all our citizens. Violence in our streets and theft will end. They mean that. Illegal sales of drugs will be removed from the dangerous hearts of our inner cities. Medical care and social security will take a major leap forward. This new ID chip will make the chances
of a medical mistaken identity impossible. That would result in the death of a loved one. The rights of all minorities in our great nation will be guaranteed. The right to live in a clean and safe world free from drugs, violence, and oppression of poverty. Join me in a call to peace and security. This ain't Clinton. I don't believe it.
No, but it sounds like one of them.
Yeah. This is a time to personally agree with me in an oath to save our nation and our planet. Resolve with me, your president, to join in creating a new world order, one based on not only on the brotherhood of all men, but of all life forms on earth. This is the challenge I ask you to meet tomorrow, as we witness to the whole world, may our example and our determination to save our nation and our world prepare us for the challenge of the golden millennium.
I've seen things on my email. I've been getting talking about the trucks hauling the martial law signs all over the place.
Martial law is going to be a necessity. If these systems go down, it's going to be a necessity.
They're gearing up for it right now.
Listen, you know what? If this system goes down, and it's going to start going down, I imagine it's going to start going down, they're going to need something to replace it. You know, America's going to have a leg up on the world because they've got something that replaces it, and it seems to be very efficient. And this is something that they obviously want to give to the whole world, not just America. The brotherhood of all men, the beast becoming one, you see. That's strange that people should come up with this. I mean, don't you think these people are strange? But it's even stranger still when you look in the Bible and you see that it was Babylon that did this. Understand, I'm looking at a level besides the level of the harlot being just apostate religion. See, Babylon was more than just apostate religion. Babylon was also a nation, and it was an entity. Well, America is obviously at the head of the beast. She's going to stay there for a while. Look at Revelation 17. You may not believe any of this, but just kind of sit it on the shelf and let's see what happens, right? Some people are prepared for none of this because they got the funny idea they're going to fly away. You're going to change your mind pretty quick on that. Totally unbiblical. It's never happened before. Remember, the things that have been are the things that shall be. When did God's people ever fly away from the beast? Not Egypt, not Assyria, not Babylon, not Media Persia, not Greece, not Rome. Nope. Those beasts were brought by God against a people who had fallen away from God to bring them back to God and to destroy those who refused to come back to God. That's history. That history is going to repeat itself. The Bible says so. This woman, in verse 18, the woman that thou sawest is the great city which hath a kingdom over the kings of the earth. You say, well, that's a city, David. That's not it. Well, think about the woman now. Now, is this woman an individual? No. This woman is a corporate body, just like every other entity in the book of Revelation. Have you ever noticed? Like the man-child and the woman who went into the wilderness? See, now, that's not past. That's not man-child back in Jesus' day. This was 96 A.D. when this was written, a long time after Jesus was gone. And God says to John, come up hither. I'm going to show you the things that are going to come to pass hereafter. So this is a prophecy of the end time after 96 A.D. So that wasn't Jesus, the man-child. This is the first fruits that's going to come forth in this day. And that woman is not Israel. That woman is the church that's going into the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12. Okay? See, all those entities, folks, are corporate bodies of people. This woman is a corporate body. That beast with seven heads and 10 horns, it describes itself as a corporate body. See, we're talking about corporate bodies. So if this woman is a city, do you suppose this city is also a corporate body of cities? Which would make it a what? A nation. See, she's called a city in the Old Testament too. Yeah, it's a nation. It's a nation that is probably the richest nation on earth. It's going to ride above these kings for a time until they get so totally fed up they decide we're going to cast this woman down and destroy her. Look at go back to verse 15. The waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest and the beast, these shall hate the harlot and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. The next chapter tells about this.
this fire, which comes in what? One day. Totally destroyed in one day. What kind of fire do you think that is? Destroys this nation in one day.
The richest nation.
Huh? How could it be anything else? Well, they finally get fed up of being ruled over by Babylon. And they decide to throw this harlot down and devour her flesh, which means what? Plunder, right? They're going to plunder and burn her with fire. For God did put it in their hearts to do his mind, and to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be accomplished. The next chapter, when you read that next chapter, he says, come my people out of her. Where are God's people? Or at least there are some of God's people, are in this harlot. Now, what do you see, which both are true now, what do you see this harlot is apostate religion? She has to come out, right? Now, what do you see this harlot as a nation that has apostatized and turned away from God, like Israel? They have to come out. Come out from among them. Be separate. He says, verse 4, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her, double according to all her works, and the cup which she mingled unto her double. How much soever she glorified herself and waxed wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and shall in no wise see mourning. Sit as queen. If there is a nation on earth that's the queen, which one would you think it would be? A queen in which God's people are, by the way. Now, this is a, you understand, when God destroyed Babylon of old, it was where God's people were. So we're not talking about Iraq, because that's not where God's people are. Besides, when God destroyed Babylon this time, it's never going to be made again.